We are starting late. What else is new? That's okay. Laura Sievert has waited patiently to be on the Mary Griffith Show, and we appreciate that so much. Brought to you each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. I'm having mine this morning with caramel macchiato creamer, so I'm really loving it. Laura is coffee-less. Stop by the green room later and get a free cup of Harvest Ridge Coffee courtesy of WTAD if you'd like to make a free will donation. Just like all the Arts Center or Quincy Arts Arts Quincy events, free, but a donation is always welcome. Well, lots and lots of things to talk about. This is Easter week. A lot of people have time off with their children. Obviously, there's a religious purpose for this week, but, you know, in between recognizing the extreme importance of the religious ceremonies, there are an awful lot of museums and places to go in Quincy, and, you know, this would be a great week for the whole family to enjoy. So please tell us where we can go.
Yeah, you know, I always think at holiday weekends that you've got family coming here, and, you know, it's Thursday, and they get here, and you're like, okay, now what? So this is just a quick list of some of the places that are open and have hours either this weekend or during the week, including the History Museum on the Square. Are you checking this out across the street here, Mary? Look at it.
The construction is going great guns. I'm so excited. We're going to have that new building built that is going to be adjacent. It's actually part of the Quincy History Museum. It'll be fully handicap accessible. They are still accepting donations.
Oh, yeah.
These guys
sure.
over here down in the pit, they don't know that they're... That
we're talking about them right now.
They don't know what they're talking about them, and they also don't know that their paycheck is dependent on people giving more money.
Can we, like, talk about this pit for a second? Look at the structure underneath it. I didn't know that was there.
Well, because there was always something next to it. See, that wasn't just an empty block.
Yeah.
There were other buildings there, so they are down into the stone foundation.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
It is, and, you know, again, that stone foundation is better than most foundations you're going to see on any new construction today, so...
Like, if I went over there and told them that I got the $1.5 million that are paying them, you think they'd let me get a hard hat and go in this pit? I want to see it. I feel like I want to see it.
I think you should.
Okay.
Why don't you just put on something that says inspector? They won't know.
This is interesting because we don't usually talk about what we're literally seeing on the radio, but they have dug quite the pit down here.
Oh, yeah.
And there is the whole foundation exposed to another building that I didn't know was there. So.
Yeah. Back in the day, they had a lot of stuff on that block. It wasn't just a city parking lot before cars were invented.
It's funny that they left the foundations, though, too. You know, like it's still just... They're like, oh, yeah, we'll just pave over it. It's fine.
But anyway, that is going great guns. And yes, thanks to Arts Quincy for getting that $1.5 million grant that spurred that. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough after COVID to make it happen. So they're still doing. So where can we visit? We can go to the History Museum on the Square right there to see the Golden Age of Quincy, their brand new exhibit.
Yes. The Art Center has hours this weekend. They're still got that Thomas Mangelson photography exhibit up. My son, my 7-year-old, has been there 4 times now. He loves this exhibit. It's big wildlife, like National Geographic style animal pit portraits. There's a couple of really funny ones, a couple of really poignant ones. But my kiddo brings his sketchbook and lays on the floor of the Art Center on his tummy and draws the pictures. Get involved like that. Like, it's really fun, and it's fun to watch him. He's never been this excited about an exhibit
before. So he's practicing to be a forager, is what you're saying.
I don't know what he's doing. He really likes animals. We're actually taking a trip this weekend, and we're going to go see the pandas at the National Zoo in D.C. So he's really into it, and he's really excited. So
you're going to D.C. just for the weekend? Not just for the weekend.
4 days. Yeah, just a short trip.
Wow.
We had an expiring American Airlines plane credit.
Okay.
So we said, let's go see the pandas. So we're going to go see the pandas.
Take me with you.
It'll be fun. I'm really excited. My kids have never been there. I've been there only one. Or no, I've been there twice, I guess. But my kids
I've been to D.C. like 2 dozen times. It's fabulous. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So we'll talk about my trip when we get back.
Oh, of course we will.
All my Lincoln stuff. But if you're here, you can see Lincoln stuff, too.
That's true, because, you know, there again, right there at the History Museum on the Square, you can see things down at 12th and State. They have the Lincoln artifacts from his assassination. The Art Center has the wildlife exhibit. The Quincy Museum's having an Easter eggs extravaganza. Are they really using, they must be using plastic eggs. Nobody can afford real eggs. That's April 19th. April
19th.
Kids
like the plastic ones better anyway.
I mean, yes, you're right, because the real Easter eggs don't have candy inside them. They have mom collects them and makes egg salad, which I love. But
right.
some kids don't like very, very much at all. So anyway, the Villa Catherine's open at 532 Gardner Expressway. And, of course, the Quincy Children's Museum. If your kids have not been to that, how did the dinosaur thing go? Did you make it?
Oh, man, it was huge.
Was
yeah,
it huge? Huge? Good.
And I love that movie. Like, I hadn't thought about that movie
the
in
Land
forever.
Before Time.
Although, it's like any Disney movie or whatever, the mom dies in it. I'm like, oh, my God, can we stop killing off the mothers? I'm like, oh, this is rough, a little foot, and oh, my gosh. So they're doing great. Children's Museum continues to do fabulous work. They've got a new mural going up right now, J.C. Womack-Spake, former Arts Quincy office extraordinaire employee, is off doing art with them again, putting up a new mural. So definitely get in there and check it out. Yeah, all of the listings of the holiday hours are up on our website and our Facebook page. So if you got folks in for the holiday weekend, get out and show them something Quincy, and then take them to Maid Rite, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Maybe our family reunion will have to have Maid Rite cater. I was thinking of some other place.
I haven't been there in ages, but my brother mentioned it the other day, and now it's all I can think about.
That's all you can think about. So whether you go to the museum on the square at 4th and Main or go down to 12th and State Street to the Governor John Wood Mansion, the Villa Catherine, the castle there on Gardner Expressway, the Quincy Children's Museum right on the town square at 115 North 4th, go to the Arts Center. Whatever you do, get out and explore the arts this Easter week. Now, the Bleeding Arts Blood Drive is coming up Thursday, April 24th from 11 to 4. The Yum Factory will again be having treats, which is the number one reason why they're so successful. Are you gaining or losing? You were up in like the top 1% or something.
So not only are we gaining, but I got a call from the vice president of the American Red Cross the other day to ask what we were doing. They were like, how is this so far up our rankings? They really did.
Yum Factory.
So, and I said, good treats from the Yum Factory is one of it. But we have just a really giving population in Quincy, right? They're really great people. But really, they asked me, first their assistant called and then asked for this meeting, and they had a strategy session about how to improve the American Red Cross app. I love that we're a part of that, right? They said that we stood out in their data as a really amazing spot for blood drives, and they wanted to know why. So really great conversation with this high-up VP from the national level. So.
But, you know, it's interesting because they are having trouble with blood drives across the nation, and you guys are really hitting it out of the park. And, yes, it is the Yum Factory. It's the fact that, you know, people can choose which blood drive to go to, and they'll go for great food. The other thing is you have some good partners with you. All the arts agencies are involved. You also have the Kiwanis Club that's involved, and the Quincy Community Theater, and the Chamber of Commerce, and Grediff, and Oakley Lindsay Center. So all these groups that are down there, their patrons, their staff members, everybody that can come in and support this, it's really a great idea.
Well, and I like to think that one of the great things that we're doing is also recognizing people when they hit their milestones. If you hit a milestone donation at our art events, we have prizes for you provided by Expressions by Christine. So this year we have Arts Quincy blood donor umbrellas, real nice little umbrellas. But you have to tell us because of privacy things, we can't. You have to tell us that you're hitting a milestone. But we had a couple people hit 5, 6, 7, 10-gallon milestones in the last several years. So they definitely got some big recognition from Arts Quincy.
Okay. So save the date, Thursday, April 24th from 11 to 4. And if you can't give blood that day, June 19th, it's all at the Oakley Lindsay Center. Thank you so very much to Laura Sievert. We'll talk about the Arts Quincy fundraiser Friday, May 30th, down at Dick Brothers Brewery in the future. And don't forget, go on their website, artsquincy.org, and look at the George M. Irwin Arts Awards. It's up to you to nominate someone. We'll be back with Dr. Brian Renfro in just a moment. Good morning, everyone. We're turning our microphones off now. Dr. Brian Renfro is here. Get right on that microphone, doctor. Oh, my gosh.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
You better turn it so that when you look Look, turn it this way. Yeah, there you go. And would you like
crosshairs now?
Yes. Would you like to comment on what is hanging from my microphone stand and has been for months?
Yeah, this is our plushie Woody.
The John Wood mascot.
The John Wood mascot is Woodrow or Woody. The trailblazer, and
he looks a lot like you with the full beard and the nice head of hair.
Know, haven't shaved in a few days. I knew I was going on the radio, not
so
TV.
So you didn't care,
so,
yeah.
Right, yeah, you know. But yeah, we got these, they're really a hot item, man.
Okay,
you know, we sell them in the bookstore if anybody wants them, but we actually, in partnership with Bella Ease, these went out with about 300 to 400 backpacks to folks in the community, underserved populations. We want to try
to remind
inspire them
that they can go to John Wood. That's
right.
That's
higher education higher is education. Attainable, and John Wood is the best affordable and accessible option in our community.
Mic drop. Okay, Dr. Brian Renfro, no secret. You are leaving our great community after doing great things. We'll talk about how great you are in a minute, but... What is the mascot of your new?
You know, actually, Eastern Iowa Community Colleges do not have athletics and do not have a mascot.
Will they be starting any of these under you?
I don't know. I'm not really sure where we're going to go in the future on that. That has been a topic of some discussion, you know. Athletics are a challenge for two-year
I was against them having them at John Wood.
Yeah,
and
so.
I hate to say it, but I still am. Not that I, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. But to me, that's not the best use of my tax dollars. I mean, in my opinion, everybody knows this. I have some issues with John Wood and some of the way they do things. They've gotten less and less over the years because you're doing what your mission is. You're just doing more than your mission sometimes, I think.
Sometimes.
But anyway, the redheaded woodpecker might be a way to go. I could be the mascot. You'd be a lady redheaded woodpecker. I could have my own plushie.
Still got the Woody component going to it as well, right?
So. Whatever. Okay, so he's going to a place that doesn't even have a mascot. Oh, my goodness gracious me. What a step down. But let's talk. Let's talk.
Yeah.
We're so sad to see you go. And I tell you who's really sad. Some of the board members I've talked to are like, are you kidding me? Do you know how hard it is to hire a president for a college?
Yeah.
So you've really caused them a lot of work. But that's okay. I'm sure they still love you. As you leave, Quincy, first of all, why the heck are you leaving? I mean, obviously, nobody wants to hold you back in your advancement.
Yeah, and it really wasn't something that was planned at all, actually. And in fact,
you just are so good they came looking for you, didn't they?
Well, I mean, yeah, in a way. I would say that's kind of true. But I think, you know, the search that was conducted up there, my name came up several times, and I actually ended up talking to him about it, and I felt like it was maybe an opportunity that was too good to pass up. But it was not an easy decision to make. I mean, I really care a lot about John Wood, the community that it serves, the mission, as you and I have talked about many times, about providing access to higher education for everyone, right? You know, we're not a selective admissions a school. Anybody that wants to come to John Wood, that wants to learn and wants to better themselves, we welcome them. We open up the doors. And much like that, Eastern Iowa Community College is too. So it really is still serving that higher education access for all missions.
Well, that was one of the complaints I used to have about John Wood. Bob Keyes, who's a former president, said we have an open door, but it's also a revolving door. Now, he tried to stop that.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is it's great. Community college should have no barrier. I mean, almost any human being who can read... and write should be able to go to community college. But the problem with that is it's still a college. And so what was happening is they were admitting all these people as freshmen, and by first semester they were all gone because they couldn't academically keep up with it. Now, over the decades, John Wood has said, okay, our mission is to serve, and so we're going to have some remedial place. And now that remedial has become so entrenched that it's really not called remedial anymore. I mean, you meet students where they are. There are students who could go to the University of Illinois or Harvard. They choose to go to John Wood, and they don't need a whole lot of extra help. They're going to excel. There are students who John Wood is their only choice. I mean, they're not going to make it anywhere else. If they can't stay at home and live at home, and if they can't have that emotional, social support of family and maybe have a part-time job, they're not going to make it. They're not going to be able to go to some Big Ten university or Mizzou and make it. So how What has changed? You've only been there 2 years,
yeah.
But I know you've tried to even continue the culture from the revolving door. Everybody's in, but they're out after
That's
a semester
right.
to everybody's in. And we're going to keep them there and get them out of the system with a diploma or certificate in their hand.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, you know, and it's a hard task. Some of the things that I did that we've made changes, and I really give credit to the leadership team and the board of trustees. Everybody was involved in this. But when we first got there, we partnered with a national group that's called Trellis Strategies. And they offer a survey of financial wellness to institutions free of charge all across the United States. And so one of the things we knew that students were still having problems staying in, right, and not going out through that revolving door. When we conducted that survey, we found that 29% of our students at John Wood experience some sort of food insecurity. In other words, they don't have enough money to either to have a meal every day. Sometimes they have to skip meals or they have to reduce portions. So one of the things that we did to address that need is we increased our food pantry. We changed the name of it to the Blazer Fuel Station. We added cold serve foods as well as frozen foods and increased our capacity probably by 200-300%. One of the other things that we learned from that survey was 45% of our students experienced some form of generalized anxiety disorder. So a lot of mental health complications, and those cause problems. It's hard to sit in class, and learn when you're having anxiety. And so we've increased our services in mental health as well. We've added telehealth services that are available 24/7 so that students can reach, and we're actually adding another counselor to our staff in the next coming months. The other thing that we learned recently was that about 30% of our students have experienced some form of homelessness. So that meant they didn't know where they were going to stay or they were experiencing trouble paying their rent and were likely to lose that. We partnered with some community agencies, but we also got a grant to address homelessness for over $50,000 for this year. We've created some relationships to get some discounted housing that are temporary with some of our local hotels. And so that we could put somebody up while we work to get them in a shelter. So, you know, when you listen to that, you hear a lot of social services. But what our research has told us about community college students is they're better academically prepared than they used to be. And we're doing a good job, as you noted, in helping them remediate that. But life still gets in the way. And as you noted, they have to have a part-time job. That was one of the other things that we learned from this survey. 70% of our students were working at least one part-time job. Many of them working two part-time jobs. And so, you know, how are you going to pay for school? That's one of the other big concerns that's on their mind. And that's one of the things I want to give kudos to the John Wood Community College Board of Trustees. For 3 years in a row, they've held a $0 tuition increase for in-district students. So for 3 years, we have increased the price to go to school at John Wood. And we all know that the price of doing business around the world and in this country has gone up significantly. So we've been able to do that by doing what I consider a wise financial stewardship of tax dollars and tuition dollars that students pay.
Let's talk about wise financial stewardship of those tax dollars briefly, then we'll go into more detail.
Sure.
You haven't raised tuition, but have you raised our property tax rate to pay for John Wood?
We have not, actually. In fact, we've reduced the property tax rate. And my CFO, Josh Welker, is really better probably at this. You might want to have him on and do an all John Wood's financial thing. I'm just an old farm boy from East Tennessee. But we do have a range in which we can increase or decrease property value rates. It's a small range. Anything over that range, we would have to go out to vote. Well, we've not even come close to going out to vote. In fact, most at least in all 3 years that I've been here, we've reduced it. It's a nominal reduction. But again, we're really fortunate to have the community that supports John Wood. And so for us not to be able to raise property taxes and not to be able to raise tuition, I think it's just a signature, even though I know your thoughts on the athletics already, that we are trying to do everything that we can to keep higher education accessible and affordable.
I've gotten over it a little bit. How many counties does John Wood serve?
You would ask me that. Seven.
But
the primary counties are Adams, Pike, and Brown.
And Brown. Adams, Pike, and Brown are where you get the vast majority. But there are
Correct.
Actually seven counties because every
yeah.
has their own community college
right.
district. So, you know, even though John Wood is in Quincy, it's also in Mount Sterling. It's
it
also
is.
In Pittsfield.
That's
so,
right.
you know, it's not just a Quincy thing. We've got to take a break, pay the bills. Batteries not included. You'll never find that at Rex Battery. They sponsor our report from the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. And we'll be back with Dr. Brian Renfro, who is leaving a great legacy behind. He did a lot in the short time he's here. Who can take his place? I've said that several times now. I always say, who can be better than this John Wood president? But we always seem to be raising the bar, so we'll see who we get next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back, and I am going to miss this guy. He just decided to be on my show every month, and now he leaves. Dr. Brian Renfro, congratulations on your new job. I know you're going to do great up there in Iowa, but you have done so much for John Wood. And John Wood, when you think about it, one out of every three, get this through your head, folks. Think about high school graduation this May. One out of every three kids that crosses the stage in Adams, Brown, and Pike counties, plus four other counties that they serve, one out of three of those kids are going to choose John Wood as their first choice. Okay. They're going to go there, and they're going to get prepared. If they want to transfer to the University of Illinois, to the University of Missouri, to wherever they want, they have a plan in place. You got to get good grades. You got to take those classes, but you can do it. If you're not interested in that, they've got a whole bunch of other stuff for you. You know, I mean, to me, it was around when I was a kid because I was focused on getting the hell out of Quincy.
Right.
So, and I did. But when I look back on it, I mean, my parents paid for a lot of partying and sorority life. And I could have got the same general credits probably for a lot less at John Wood than they paid for it at University of Illinois. But again, that's part of the process, too. Some kids do want to go away and have that independence. Other kids don't. You mentioned the emotional component. Is the successful John Wood student one that maybe, because I'm sorry, I'm not calling them names, but are you mature enough at 18 to really go away and live in a big city on your own? I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of kids would do better if they went to John Wood.
I think we've seen that. You know, the big university life's not for everybody, especially if you come from a small rural high school. You know, and I think John Wood does offer that ability to be able to come in, know all your teachers on a first name basis. Know some of the friends, but also make new friends, right, and start to explore that and start to navigate that process. And our goal is if you do want to transfer, we want to prepare you to be able to transfer and not just be successfully academic in the classroom, but also to be able to navigate the college life and the college experience. And so for many students, I think it is a wise alternative to gain some maturity, gain some perspective, kind of maybe they know what they want to do, but maybe solidify that's what I want to do so that they don't spend too much time and too much money trying to explore and figure out those options. You know, when you and I went to school, it was a much different world then. You know,
at Bedrock University
younger,
with the Flintstones.
Yeah, you're much
yeah.
younger than me, so.
Sure, yeah,
but,
not really.
But, you know, it was much more affordable than it is
oh.
now.
Well, I tell this story, and it's true. I mean, people think I'm making this up. I went to freshman convocation at the University of Illinois. There are 8,000 in my class. We didn't all show
yeah.
up, but I did because I was a good little Catholic girl. And when they said the president's speaking to the students, I went and sat in the throng on the quad, and he was a pinprick, you know, a little up there, a little bitty. You know, I couldn't see him. And he said, look to your left and look to your right. One of the three of you is not going to be here in January. He said, we don't have room for you. We don't have time for you. So we admitted you because you have the potential to succeed at the University of Illinois. But from this day forward, it's up to you. Because in January, one third of you will not be here.
You'll be gone.
And our tax dollars at work. Thank you. At least he was honest.
Yeah.
I mean, he made you know that if you came over here to go out drinking every night, have fun, but you're not going to be here in January. And frankly, it was kind of a scary call because he said, do your best because we're getting rid of a third of you. Even if that third of you is still pretty good, because we just don't have room for you. So if everybody gets an A, everybody who didn't get an A+ is still going.
Yeah.
So, you know, be good. It's nice and know my name. My teachers didn't even know my name.
Yeah.
Forget it. But I'm proud of that I graduated from there, and I'm happy with the education I got there. But, you know, John Wood is something completely different and something that people should look into. as you leave, because I want to get into challenges.
Sure.
Of course, we don't want anybody thinking of applying for the job of president to be listening right now because they may not want the job. But if you were going to stay another year, what was something you were going to have to tackle that maybe, you know, you may not put off, but I mean, what are the, in the next 2 years, what's something John Wood's going to have to do that you're kind of glad you don't have to deal with?
and I think a lot of the challenges are really opportunities. You know, we are accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. And we'll have to go through in 2027, so in the next 2 years, our what is the interim academic review. So it's really all things higher education, and the accrediting body comes in and really looks at everything we do. It puts us under a magnifying glass. I have no doubt that the college will do really well, but it's also a very stressful time for the president and the leadership team. And so that will be one of the challenges that I'll miss. Also, faculty union negotiations will start in the fall. And unfortunately, I won't be a part of that at my new college that I'm going into as chancellor. Also, that's handled by the president. So,
yeah, that's the other question. What's the difference between the chancellor and the president? I mean, every college has a chancellor. Yeah. Every college has a president. But the president, to me, is the guy that you never see except on that one night when he says a third of you aren't going to be here, and then the chancellor does all the work. So,
yeah, in districts, it's a little bit different. And the way that it works is each one of the colleges have a president, and then those presidents report to the chancellor, and then the chancellor reports to the board. So you almost see it as an intermediary. And the chancellor's job is really to do a couple different things. One is to unify the colleges so that you have similarities, both instructions, programs, and services across three different or distinct colleges in this particular case. And the other thing is to be involved a little bit more at the state level in regard to driving policy and funding for community colleges as a whole. So, but that leadership effort's just a little bit different in that it's over multiple colleges rather than one college, which is the president's role.
It's interesting that you said that, because you're going to be in charge of three campuses. In addition to, obviously, labor and union negotiations with the teachers and the accreditation, which are a lot of paperwork and obnoxious meetings and everything, what about academically? Is there a program out there that John Wood needs, but for some reason you just can't get it?
Yeah, I think it was just a kind of timing thing for me. But one of the things that I've identified in the area that I think would be really beneficial for John Wood, and I've told the board this and I'll tell them that, it just couldn't be done in my time frame, is a program in dental hygiene.
Oh, yeah, we need that desperately.
I really think so. And you might look at it. We've done some research. We worked with Grediff and looked at the labor market data and what that looks like. And, you know, there's anywhere from 12 to 18 openings in our service district a year. So you wouldn't really want a really large program, but that's typically the case with dental hygiene. You usually have 16 to maybe 24 students. But the interesting factor was the number of retirees that are expected. Over the next 5 to 8 years, you're going to see a significant number of dental hygienists who, hey, been out this for a while. And we have a lot of students that come to us now that are interested in becoming dental hygienists. It's a well-paid career, a nice work schedule, right? You know, much like being a radio talk show host.
Yeah, easy peasy.
I'm
not going to miss this guy that much.
But they will have to leave in order to do that.
Now, right.
So they take prerequisite courses with us, their science and their chemistry and their AMPs, but then they either have to go to Lewis and Clark or Carl Sandburg or, you know, even over to Missouri down in Columbia. So really, I think it's a program that the college could do very well with. And again, keeping folks local, because a lot of times once our students leave and they're young and they get a taste of that big city life, they don't want to come back to Quincy, at least for some time.
Let me ask you the follow-up question to that, because, you know, we have truck driver training. And I used to think, my goodness, after 5 years, won't there be enough? Obviously not. When we have culinary arts, something like that, dental hygiene, okay, we're going to train X amount of people for 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Is it feasible then to just shut down the program if it's no longer necessary? In other words, there will come a time when we have enough dental hygienists.
Yeah.
Can you just say, look, we're going to ramp this up. We're going to take a class of whatever, you know, optimum size, 12, 15, whatever. And we're going to train these 15 this year and 15 the next year. And then we're going to get 45 dental hygienists trained. And then, frankly, we don't need that program anymore in Quincy because they've all got jobs and they're probably going to stay there. Do you ever think about starting a program just for a short period of time and then shutting it down with the thought in mind that you will shut it down?
We do. We do always look at that as an option. You know, with dental hygiene, I'm not sure that that's an option because there's just always retirements and migrations out of the area. And
you think it'll be necessary for the foreseeable future?
So I really do, especially with what we saw with the retirement data. I mean, you're looking at a significant change in the workforce from those folks who went into it. And then I think you're always going to have some folks, too, that, you know, they go through it and they get their dental hygiene degree here, but they want to move to Springfield or Chicago. Or
that's always going to happen. I mean, every nurse at Blessing Hospital doesn't work at Blessing Hospital.
My philosophy on that has always been, why not educate them here? You know, right now we know that they're leaving to get an education in many cases leaving the state of Illinois. And interesting enough, they're less likely to come back. But if they stay here and get their education, they may be more likely to stay.
Grab that tuition, Dr. Brian Renfroze. It's been so delightful. Any final words? I hope you'll be back before you leave.
Oh, totally. I'll be back.
You know, what would you like to say to the citizens of Quincy and the taxpayers of John Wood?
You know, I think one of the things is I know, you know, this was this past year's the 50th anniversary of John Wood, and I think it's important to reflect on the past and an institution's cultural history. But I think it's important to reflect on that in a way that it helps shape the future. And I think the community support as it's grown for John Wood has really put it in a premier place. And that future has probably never looked brighter than it does right now.
Okay. Dr. Brian Renfroe, good luck to you in your next adventure. Maybe I'll call you sometime to get some thought process on education in general. We used to have a wonderful president at Culver Stockton that would recite poetry to me. I kept him on for a few years afterwards.
I don't think any of the poetry that I can recite is actually, I think you'll have some issues with the federal...
You don't know the Purple Cow poem?
With the Federal Communications Administration.
No, come
it'd be
on.
Inappropriate.
I'm going to teach you a poem.
Okay.
And when you do your first radio interview up in Iowa, you tell them that you are a poet laureate from Illinois. I never saw a purple cow. I never hoped to see one. But I can tell you anyhow, I'd rather see than be one. There you go. Now, you say that first time you're on whatever the equivalent of the Mary Griffith show is up
there.
Well,
there is
no
equivalent. Well, I can tell you that right now.
Of course, right now. I've called to warn them. Trust me. No, it's been delightful. Don't start a sports program up there or I will come after you.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
And pick a mascot that, you know, a reasonable facsimile of myself can be the plushie, and I'll get a royalty. Okay. Other than that, I will have you back on again.
Oh, definitely. I'll be back.
Tell your secretary that I am a high priority.
High priority.
You're
going to get bumped up the list.
She puts me down to, like, number 15 on your list of things to do today. I'm going to have a talk with her. Okay, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Mary. As always, it's great.
It is always great talking to you. I may move to Iowa and start up there just so I can bother him and bug him.
I love it. I love the idea of it. In fact, I'm going to be actively working and recruiting.
Yeah, okay. Chuck Schultz and Jack Freiberg on Friday, folks. Stay tuned for that.